Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And as promised, we're going to keep getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Carol is up next. Carol, how are we doing?
Hi, guys. I'm approaching this with a different perspective and a different kind of passion. I'm like, oh, my God, stop crying and whining and coddling this team. Mm-hmm. I look at it like this. We have professional players are getting paid millions of dollars. They know what their role is. They know what their job is. They know what their position is. And that goes for the coaches as well. They need to come out and play each and every week with that same type of urgency to win the Super Bowl. And playing like that, yes, it can get exhausting, and there could be some kind of game fatigue by the end of the season. But that's what your team psychologists are for. And if you need a team mother, I'll be glad to sign up for the job. The other thing is we keep comparing ourselves to the last two-thirds of the league. We know that we're better than them. We know we can outplay them. We need to constantly be comparing ourselves to the top three and four teams, not only to be equal to them, but to supersede them to win that Super Bowl. So that's what I have to say. Go Bills. They've always been my team, and they always will. But they need to play up to that higher standard as well. Thanks, guys. Interested to hear what you have to say. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Carol. I think that's the thing is, like, I think they are reaching that higher standard. They are still 4-0. It can be lost at times when most of us are complaining as they go. I will also say, I mean, you're also seeing a lot of their backups played like backups on the secondary. Trey White, I know Sal's talked about it. He was on his way to maybe winning that CB2 battle with Max Harrison. Harrison misses most of training camp. We actually don't really know how that battle was going to go as training camp went on. There's a very good chance the first round pick.
It did not become a prolonged battle. As a matter of fact, Harrison misses most of training camp.
There's a chance Harrison overtakes him there. Linebackers. Yeah, Dorian Williams is playing like a backup. Derek, you mentioned it. Like, it's nice that he led the team in tackles last year. He hasn't looked like that player at all this year.
There's not been
that progression for him.
This is where there's also the tricky balance between criticizing the team for not playing their best game, but also making sure to acknowledge that they are indeed 4-0 and they've won these last two games by multiple possessions and by double digits. So how critical should we really be? Because I look at Green Bay losing to the Cleveland freaking Browns or the Chargers getting tripped up by the 0-3 Giants starting a rookie quarterback in his NFL debut. There are fates worse than death. And the Bills winning by 12 against the Saints is ultimately still a hell of a lot better than what I saw in Green Bay and what I saw with the Chargers. Oh, and by the way, the peers that were all sitting there at 4-0, there were six of them. Now there's two. The Bills are one of them.
And I have mentioned with the Eagles being the other undefeated team, they have a tough time passing the ball. A.J. Brown, it's not the book this year.
Yeah.
Now he's just putting Bible quotes out on Instagram.
It's just a different book.
Yeah, it's just a different book. And so but this is also something I mentioned, like how much
we're going to drive ourselves insane.
Yeah. Bulldog mentioned this yesterday of like a little bit worried for the fan base to get to January. And I think it goes back to that overtime caller you and Nate had where it's just they've done everything asked of them except the one thing. They have built, in reality, a ton of credibility to just trust what they're doing. They will probably win 11-plus games. They're going to easily win the AFC East. And they're probably almost definitely going to win a playoff game. But they have not even reached a Super Bowl yet. And that will always, for many people, leave a void that will lead some to be very apprehensive about the roster and where they're going. I've fallen into that. Of talking about the talent level they actually have outside of quarterback and now James Cook in the offensive line. I think it, undisputably, those groups are fantastic.
It's a tricky balance because on one hand, you should be able to say, yeah, they are 4-0. And at the other, you should be able to say, yeah, you could also play better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance and finding it and trying to not make yourself a hypocrite all in the same time.
Yeah.
That is this interesting little thing. And I'm going to put a pin in this. Because we got to get to some primetime players.
We do. We got to get to our week four primetime performers. It was a pretty good week. One guy I definitely want to talk about just more as a season-long thing. We'll get to that, though. Starting off, though, with our honorable mentions. Derek, I'll go first here because I know we have kind of a similar vibe here with the honorable mentions. I kind of just want to throw out there Dallas Green Bay. Just and, their offenses
yep,
in general.
Is.
Were incredible. It ends 40-40. It's a tie.
How do you do that?
I saw Del Reed mention, can that really be considered an all-time great game if it ended as a tie or can be an instant classic if it's a tie? I'm going to say no because it is a tie in football and I hate that. But 40-40, Romeo Doubs has the weirdest stat line imaginable. He has like six catches for 50 yards but three touchdowns. Dak and Love are going back and forth. And the hype that game had as well of Micah Parsons coming back to Dallas. And Jerry Jones is trying to gaslight everybody in the pregame interview about like what, you know, what actually happened, what have you.
Yeah.
Parsons also, by the way, gets on the stat sheet. He gets a sack.
Yep.
Like, a game kind of had everything except a winner. So I do want to...
Except a winner.
I do want to put that out there. It's just an honorable mention. The Green Bay-Dallas game and really their offenses.
Yes. I did put that in there because I always send you the email of what I picked for the day, for the segment. And it says Green Bay and Dallas offenses. Yes, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hate myself for this. I'm putting Patrick Mahomes in the honorable mentions. And I feel dirty. I need to take a shower.
He played well.
Yeah.
He carved up that, albeit a very wounded Ravens defense. And it got worse, too. I mean, Nnamdi Matabuka is out for the year. Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey both week to week. That defense is in hell. They're in a really, really bad
and
spot.
And Anabuke might be more than just the year. It's a neck injury. Things might get a little bit more interesting down the line. Zach, I know you usually have three in here. I cheated and I have four.
Oh, I have four as well. That's good.
Okay, so then keep going.
Yeah. I also have DK Metcalf on here. He ultimately ends with 5 for 126 and a touchdown. Most of that comes from that 80-yard score. But I got to be honest, with the Steelers, I haven't despised watching them play 100% of the time. The New England game was a tough watch, don't get me wrong. But I've sort of enjoyed like what DK Metcalf has been on the Steelers, what Aaron Rodgers has even been on the Steelers. He has been the older vet. I'm just here to make everyone look better. And they've got to be in the driver's seat to win that division, I think, easily. I'd even argue, and I was talking with a listener over the weekend, I think after the Lamar maybe hamstring injury, maybe keeping him out, even them just being 1-3, Steelers might be winning that AFC North. And it's week four.
As a hater, I hate it.
Fair.
My other honorable mentions, though, Zach, they're going to the college football
side of things
on Saturday. First, I'm going with Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon, 29 of 39, 248 yards passing, three touchdowns. He added 35 rushing yards in the overtime win over Penn State. James Franklin drives people crazy that he can't beat a top 10 team, but you need sometimes a primetime performance in order to keep that narrative going. Dante Moore getting some flowers here from me.
And that felt a little bit like
in one of the most entertaining games.
It was like 3-3 at halftime, wasn't it?
But the other thing about it, you remember how week one was. It didn't give you any of the hype that it was supposed to be delivered upon.
Mm-hmm.
This game did.
I know we're going to talk about Alabama and Georgia coming up here in a second.
Yes.
Ole Miss LSU, by the way, at 3:30 also was a very good game.
All of those games ended up delivering on the hype, and that's good to see. But I needed to give Dante Moore a little bit of love here.
Real quick on him as well. He may have, and maybe most impressive for him personally, Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback, was one of them coming in with all the hype. He was part of that quarterback group we mentioned with Luke Johnson last week from the Saints. Of just like all these guys came in with a lot of hype. Aller was the one guy who still hadn't botched that yet, and he did. Dante Moore has been playing great football all year with Oregon. Also, a bit of an interesting road to get to Oregon. Initially committed to them, decommitted, went to UCLA, played there in his freshman year. You've seen anything on UCLA football, you know how dire a situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now goes back to Oregon. Lost his top receiver before the season even started, Evan Stewart. And he's, I think now, I haven't checked, but he might be either the Heisman favorite or one of the Heisman favorites. Oregon looks like a wagon so far this year. And many smart people were really thinking Penn State had a shot this year, or shot against Oregon. Turned out to not be true. Dan Lanning's building a hell of a program there.
And Penn State still almost got their shot on him.
Yeah.
Lost by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. My other honorable mention, Jackson Dart. Not really necessarily stats-wise. I mean, he had two total touchdowns. Just more going up against that Chargers team. Malik Nabers goes down, and for him to get a win. And for, you know, this is why I'll usually point to starting the young guys earlier than maybe you'd like to, maybe more than you're comfortable for, because teams will rally around that guy. It is hard to rally around, no offense, someone like a Russell Wilson or even a Jameis Winston who are on their roster, because you've been there and you've done that. You know who they are. You know their limitations. There is almost a bliss of ignorance with these rookies, not really knowing how the NFL goes, what's happening, and they're kind of just going out to play. And you can see a little bit of that from Dart. And then even a fellow rookie, Abdul Carter, I think in the post game, even mentioned the future is now. I don't think the Giants are going to be a great team this year, but I think they're better off playing Dart. And I think they were better off playing Dart maybe even in week one.
They're worth keeping an eye on next year.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Staying in college with my last honorable mention. Oh, you know this has got to happen here. As a certified big boy, we get a big boy screen. The play from Alabama for Caden Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
He hits a weight loss goal. And the Alabama coaching staff says, for your reward, we're giving you a screen pass.
Yeah, we're going to give you a screen pass.
And not only does he get the screen pass, he doesn't drop it. Good job on you, first of all. He then rumbles through and almost gets a touchdown on a thick six.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That would have been amazing. But also, that's the beauty of humanity in a play. Hey, congrats on hitting your goal. Here's a reward. And then you don't botch it and you look great with it to the point where multiple people around here are tweeting Joe Brady saying, hey, I just saw an offensive lineman get a screen pass. Which, first of all, how dare any of you? The Bills don't run screen plays well.
Yeah, I'm not throwing Alec Anderson out there to the wolves. They don't run screens.
The only
well.
Reason that Khalil Shakir scored on that play is because he's a human pinball.
Yeah, but Caden Proctor, unbelievable
Proctor,
play.
I love
and
that
so
play.
Much fun. Also,
so much fun.
Good for Kalen DeBoer as well. He looked like he was in a really bad spot with Alabama faithful the whole thing after that Florida State loss in Tallahassee, and since then they've just gone in the complete opposite direction. He also, by the way, so good against a number of coaches. Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian. Just kind of has like some weird moments. But Kalen DeBoer, I think overall, very good coach for Bama. Glad they didn't rush to any sort of conclusions there, because I think Alabama's going to be in a really good spot going forward. All right, now to the top five. I'll start off here. Number five, Chargers, outside linebacker, edge rusher, however you want to register it. Tuli Tupulatu? I believe that's how you say it. I think that's right. Four sacks for the Chargers on Sunday against Jackson Dart, albeit a rookie, yes, but four sacks. kind of hard to ignore that. I didn't hear much about it, though, on Sunday. Usually when you hear a guy get like the 3 sacks, all of a sudden everyone's going like, what's this guy doing? This is freaky. He gets to 4. Unbelievable game for him. He's at number 5 for me.
And number 5 for me is going to be Ashton Jeanty. Jeanty has had a rough start to his rookie campaign and it has not been great. What does he do against the Bears here? And what is ultimately a loss, unfortunately, for him? 21 carries, 155 total yards, 130 of them rushing. Why did I include the total yards? Because there's 3 touchdowns and a great game from Jeanty here. It does end in a loss. Geno Smith keeps throwing interceptions left, right, and center, apparently.
Yeah, he's rough.
But what is it with Seattle knowing when to get rid of quarterbacks all of a sudden?
Yeah, they've nailed that twice in a row.
This is uncanny.
Twice in a row with different regimes.
Yeah.
They've nailed it. They have nailed it, at least coaching regimes.
Yes.
Absolutely nailed it.
But Jeanty for me, it's a great game for him. Gets his season back on track. And for a lot of people that were really hyped up about the Boise State running back, well, here's some of your dedication being paid off.
Mm-hmm. Number 4 for me, Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens. I had to put someone from this game in the top 5. It was such a fun offensive game. And I went for the guy that had to take up all the duties at receiver. With CeeDee Lamb going down, Pickens has kind of this feeling of, man, he's super talented, but man, is he going to do some dumb stuff. And ultimately, he was just fine. 8 catches for 134 and 2 scores. Great game by him. Again, the only thing that game did not have was a winner.
Yeah, that is very true. Staying at wide receiver here, moving on to number 4, I've got Puka Nacua.
Oh, baby.
The man cannot be stopped.
Oh, baby.
He cannot be stopped. He was averaging, coming into this game, 111 yards per game. He goes ahead and grabs another 13 catches, 170 yards and a touchdown to another player that I will be nominating here later on. But Nacua is just fantastical right now and a large reason that the Rams are able to be at 3-1 at the moment.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. We'll talk more on Puka Nacua here in a little bit because he's on my list, obviously.
There we go.
A little bit further down. Number 3 now for me. I know you put him in honorable mentions. For me, one of the better quarterback performances over the weekend, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns, 270 yards. That game, as much as I was hyped up to watch it, never really close. Lamar Jackson didn't really look right. I know Mike Schoep's been talking about this the last few weeks. He didn't really look right against Detroit, 7 sacks. Mahomes, though, complete opposite. He looked in total control. I think there is something to, like we saw last year with the Bills. Amari Cooper gets inserted into the Bills' wide receiver room, into the offense. And while he didn't put up crazy stats, the offense just flowed better. I think that might be plus with Worthy. He put up total yards. They had him in the run game. They had him in the pass game, what have you. But just him being in the rotation, him being in the lineup, I think just allowed the offense to breathe more. And they look, this is albeit against a really, really beat up defense as a whole. But Mahomes in the offense looked really good, arguably for the first time in a while.
Yeah, that's, again, I feel dirty giving Patrick Mahomes any sort of credit right now. I'm becoming too much of a hater.
I get it. That's fine.
But, you know, it is what it is, which is he played well in a game that they needed. Because if you fall to 1-3, it's not typically going to be for the best. And now all of a sudden they are one game out of the lead for the AFC West. We're back.
Oh, yeah.
We're all back. Number 3 for me, you mentioned him already, Tuli Tuipulotu. 10 tackles, 4 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. He did not make Jackson Dart's first career start an easy one.
No.
But it is ultimately in a loss somehow because the Chargers just decided to be out to lunch that day, offensively at least. But again, a great game. And suddenly this puts him, after one game, having those 4 sacks, tied for 6th in the NFL in sacks.
And these were his first 4 sacks of the season?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He's tied for 6th with 4 sacks
on the
year in one game.
That's awesome. Number 2 now for me. I did go Raiders running back Ashton Jeanty.
Yes.
Didn't do much in the receiving game except for he only had the 2 catches, both going for touchdowns.
But that's the thing, they go for touchdowns.
Yeah. 138 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. He has had such a tough road to start his NFL career. The Raiders were not kind of this, ooh, they might be flashy offensively team. No. Geno Smith has been rough. We just mentioned it there that Seattle inexplicably, again, moves off to the quarterback right when they needed to. But Genty's been looking for this. I think it was Ryan Clark that said he just doesn't have that it factor. Well, there you go. That's the Boise State Ashton Genty. And I think I saw, too, he's going back to that Michael Myers stance that he had before, you know, taking the ball where he's just standing straight up. He's not in any kind of stance. And this is the first game he did it. Good for him. And he might have to be the guy for the Raiders because not much else is going right for them. But I think overall, a great performance for him. And one we've all been waiting to see, and I think that's more of it for me, is just how the season's been going for him. For it to finally pop like that, albeit in a loss, huge for him. It's number two for me, running back Ashton Genty.
Number two for me is going to be on the defensive side in that game. The Chicago Bears winning against the Raiders. Kevin Byard the third. Byard has seven tackles, one tackle for loss, two pass deflections, two interceptions of Geno Smith. Considering that they win this game, I'm always going to respect when a defensive player puts up a big stat line like this.
Mm-hmm.
And every point mattered in this one. Geno Smith's turnovers are becoming back-breaking because they are mattering in the win and loss column. Byard gets these plays done, and I'm just sitting here slightly jealous that a safety is making plays.
Only slightly, though.
Only slightly, because Cole Bishop is making plays now, too.
Got a sack and an interception just through the first month of the season.
Exactly.
He's making plays.
Byard had himself a great game, though. This was one of those performances that you look back on in the film room, and you see that is a rangy safety making the plays that he needs to as a pure center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he also gets a tackle for loss in the game as well. Everything is working for him. Keep it going, because the Chicago Bears are suddenly living up to some of the promise that they've been displaying.
Yeah, they're 2-2, right, at this point?
They're 2-2 now.
Yeah. All right. Not bad. Number one for me, already mentioned, and this is much more great game, yes, but also we need to keep an eye on this season going forward. Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua.
He might win Offensive Player of the Year.
I think he's got to easily be the favorite now. 13 catches, 170, and a touchdown. Just looking, though, at this year, he is by far leading the league in receptions at 42 already through four games, beating Jake Ferguson by 8. In terms of yards, he's also leading the way, 503, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's in second, by 101 yards. His yards per game has gone up to 125.8, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who right now sits at 100.5, and I think the only person that's beating him in targets, nope, he's leading the league in targets at 50. Chris McCaffrey's at 43. I saw a tweet, it was just from a random user. I found it funny because he was talking about Puka Nacua, but it was about the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford. He, though, might be the antithesis to everybody eats. When that man finds a receiver he loves, he is going to target that man until the wheels fall off. He did it with Calvin Johnson. He did it with Cooper Kupp, and he's doing it with Puka Nacua. Kenny Galladay, he did it as well back with
That's
the Lions.
Right.
He got him to 1,000 yards. Matthew Stafford is that guy when you're like, I need a superstar receiver for my quarterback. Matthew Stafford will find a superstar wide receiver.
Matthew Stafford might make a superstar.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford is my number one primetime player this week. Because it is not Puka Nacua that wins that game. He hits a dot to Tutu Atwell to win the game against the Indianapolis Colts in a game where, good for the Colts, being punchy. They're for real. But Matthew Stafford was more real. 29 of 41, 375 total yards, 170 of them going to Puka Nacua, which is disgusting.
It's unbelievable.
Three touchdowns, including the winner to Atwell in the win against the Colts. I'm giving it to Matthew Stafford this week because Stafford is a player that he is always going to be the tough, gritty type. You can beat the snot out of him, and he's still going to get up and go, let's do it again. And not that I like it, but let's do it again.
Yeah, Stafford has really, since he entered the league from Georgia, and I was younger when he first came in, so like, he was always quarterback I liked watching. That continued on when he went to the Rams. I was so happy he finally got a Super Bowl. And now his Ram career, I think more than anything, is going to put him in the Hall of Fame because it gives just context, and I've said this a few times, it gives such context to his Lions career of, man, if he was with a good organization, not a great one, a good organization, what could he have been? You put him with a great one, and now he's winning playoff games. He's winning Super Bowls. He's putting up oogles and boogles of numbers, and he's making superstar receivers out of guys like that are fifth-round picks. Not to take anything away from Puka Nacua. He's been amazing since day one, but it does help when Stafford looks at you with starry eyes and goes,
that's my guy.
Yeah. I'll be your Huckleberry right there.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll post these on social media in just the next few minutes. Talking Bills defense today, 4-0. We'll jump around the NFL as well. We'll talk about the Patriots, who were the Bills' next opponent. Sunday Night Football, Bills wearing their rivalry jerseys. I've liked the first two that we've seen from the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.